content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jean Latshaw from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from various ladies' magazines, and we begin with this one from Real Simple, The Short List, What Should I Read Next? Top Picks for Every Taste. First, a moving memoir. Dan Matthews knew he was in for an adventure when he relocated his 78-year-old mother across the country to live with him. What he didn't know was that her often unpredictable behavior was due to an undiagnosed disorder, schizophrenia. Like Crazy is the title of the book. It's a deeply compassionate and occasionally hilarious look at what it means to care for a parent as they enter the last phase of life. The author was Dan Matthews, M-A-T-H-E-W-S. A poolside read, if your pool's open. Mine's not. Plus-size Instagrammer Daphne Berg has worked hard to love herself just as she is, and it's paid off with a devoted tribe of followers. But when her former best friend, the very one who humiliated her in high school, shows up with a favor to ask for her Cape Cod wedding, Daphne is forced to decide whether she's ready to forgive. Jennifer Weiner is the author, W-E-I-N-E-R. Big Summer is the book, an insightful page-turner about the power of old friendships. A big what-if. Imagine if Hillary Rodham and Bill Clinton had broken up after law school. That's what best-selling author Curtis Sittenfeld does in her novel Rodham. Weaving together real-life events and coulda-shoulda moments, Sittenfeld spins a compelling tale about women in politics, compromise, and the fateful pull that unites Bill and Hillary. The author, again, Curtis Sittenfeld, S-I-T-T-E-N-F-E-L-D, the book Rodham, R-O-D-H-A-M. Next, a tender debut called All My Mother's Lovers. The author, Ilana Massad, M-A-S-A-D. It explores how wrong we can be about those we love. After the death of her mother, Iris, Maggie returns home to discover that Iris has left 5 sealed envelopes for mysterious men. As Maggie embarks on a road trip to deliver the letters and cope with her grief, she finds that Iris, never comfortable with her daughter's sexuality, had a secret life all her own. Next, some thought-provoking fiction. In this unique tale, Anna Solomon, S-O-L-O-M-O-N, interweaves the stories of 3 women negotiating their places in the world. Esther, a young tribeswoman in ancient Persia, Vivian, a political wife hurt by sexism in Watergate-era D.C., and Lily, a dissatisfied modern-day stay-at-home mom. The Book of V is the title. The Book of V asks complicated questions about power, desire, and the evolution of women's roles. From Better Homes and Gardens, The Dirt. Goodbye, weeds. Pro tips to keep them from going around, from gaining ground, I'm sorry. Experienced gardeners often say that a weed is just the right plant in the wrong place. In fact, weeds have their uses. Some are edible and delicious, like fresh dandelion greens in early spring. Others, like clover, improve the soil, and goldenrod is gorgeous in bloom. But when weeds intrude into your garden and threaten to crowd out what you've planted, they must go. To defeat them, you need some hard-hitting strategies, a few quality tools, and an understanding of how weeds replicate themselves. The trick is to get them while they're small and keep after them. Persistence wins. First, to reduce work, weed on a sunny day and leave the weeds on the ground to shrivel so they'll be lighter to haul away. Or leave them as a weed-suppressing mulch, as long as they're dead and not actively dropping seeds. Practice prevention. These are 4 tips for that. Starting in early spring, these methods help prevent weeds from spreading. Keep garden soil loose by working in organic materials such as compost and leaf mold so weeds are easier to pull. 2, use a hand tool to shallowly disturb the surface surrounding plants, catching weeds before they're trouble. 3, where convenient, cover exposed soil with a mulch like chopped straw. And 4, keep grass at least 3 inches tall so your lawn is lush and vigorous enough to shade out competing broadleaf leaves. Weeds. From Martha Stewart Living, Grandma was right. Mimi, Nana, Bubi, Abuela, whatever you call yours, she's wise in the ways of the world, especially when you're not feeling 100%. She'll prescribe hot lemon water or chicken soup, and new studies show she's clearly onto something. Her practical wisdom may do more than offer comfort, but also prevent sickness and speed healing. These are the greatest tips from the greatest generation. Drink honey with lemon for a sore throat. Stirred into boiling water, these staples aren't just soothing, they can actively fight the throat irritations that come with cold or flu. Honey is a natural antibacterial and anti-inflammatory, properties that can help relax red, aggravated throat tissue and quiet your cough. Lemons contain vitamin C, which some studies suggest can reduce cold symptoms to duration. And the heat of the brew matters. In a 2008 study out of Cardiff University in Wales, students with colds were given a hot drink, in this case a quintessentially British mixture of fruit cordial and water, or the exact same tincture at room temperature. While both sips relieved runny noses, coughs, and sneezes, only the hot one eased sore throats too. The researchers suspect that in part the aroma of the tasty drink caused subjects to salivate more, thus lubricating their upper passageways. Regardless of the reason, this is definitely a safe way to get some relief, says Jennifer Cottle, D.O., a family physician and associate professor of family medicine at Rowan University School of Osteopathic Medicine in Stratford, New Jersey. Next, eat chicken soup for a cold. No matter what's in her secret recipe, egg noodles, matzo balls, or tortilla strips and a squeeze of lime, a bowl full of chicken soup can mitigate cold or flu symptoms, per a 2000 lab study published in Chest, the Journal of the American College of Chest Physicians. Those researchers couldn't pinpoint exactly which of the soup's ingredients to credit for the anti-inflammatory effect. Theirs had chicken, onions, sweet potatoes, parsnips, turnips, carrots, celery, parsley, salt, and pepper. But a later study published in the American Journal of Therapeutics suggests it's the chicken itself. A compound called carnosine, a component of proteins found in breast meat, appears to have the ability to fight off the flu virus in its early stages. Swig castor oil to keep things moving. There's no question that the stuff does its job well. So well, in fact, that in 2012, researchers at Germany's Max Planck Institute for Heart and Lung Research did a study on what makes the vegetable seed oil such an effective laxative and labor inducer. They found that its active component, ricinoleic acid, binds to the smooth muscle cells in the small intestine and similar ones in the uterus, causing them to contract and keep contracting until you expel what's inside. So why isn't it recommended more often these days? It tastes terrible, says Jacqueline Wolf, M.D., a gastroenterologist and associate professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. For occasional constipation, there are many products on the market, such as Senecote or milk of magnesia, that are just as effective, but much more tolerable to ingest. Another naturopath-recommended use for the oil? If you have dry eyes, tap a few drops on your lids before bed. Slip into a warm bath for just about anything. Hydrotherapy has been hot for millennia, ever since ancient Greek physician Hippocrates prescribed it to his patients. But scientists are now exploring why soaks seem able to relieve pain, lower fevers, and promote better sleep. Last year, researchers at the University of Texas at Austin found that bathing in 104 to 109 degree water 90 minutes before bed can improve our overall sleep quality and help us all fall asleep 10 minutes faster by raising, then lowering, our core body temperature, which tells our circadian clock that it's lights out. Some research also suggests a warm bath may temporarily bring a fever slightly down. The steam, meanwhile, can help loosen sinus congestion and get mucus to start draining, says Dale Amanda Taylor, M.D., an otolaryngologist and head and neck surgeon in Santa Barbara, California. But don't toss your regular meds just yet. When you have a temperature, you're better off taking an over-the-counter fever reduction medicine to lower it, says Cottle. As for pacifying muscle soreness and joint pain from exercise or an oncoming cold, one theory goes like this. The water's heat causes your blood vessels to dilate, which improves circulation to tissue, which in turn reduces pain. And last, eat ginger to settle your stomach. If Grandma played hoops, this would be her slam dunk. Numerous studies have shown that the root, fresh or dry, can be as effective as over-the-counter drugs at treating nausea, motion sickness, and even vomiting. Experts think the stomach-calming properties come mainly from two compounds, gingerols, which are most abundant in raw ginger, and shagols, which are more concentrated in dried slices or powder. While there's no official dosage, 1,000 milligrams or about a teaspoon of freshly grated ginger, 4 cups of prepackaged ginger tea, or 2 pieces of crystallized ginger, usually does the trick. From Woman's Day, Green Thumbs Up. Melinda Myers, gardening expert and the host of the Great Courses How to Grow Anything DVD series, offers tips and shortcuts to keep your yard looking lush for less. First, water early. Lawns and plants should be watered in the morning, between 5 and 6 a.m. if possible, so the roots get soaked before the sun makes the moisture evaporate or the wind blows it away. Watering early also means leaves have time to dry during the day, which decreases the risk of rot or fungus. 2. Cut grass smarter. Mow as high as possible when the grass is growing. Tall grass forms deeper roots that are more drought-tolerant and better able to fight off insects and disease. Maximize cutting efficiency and save time and fuel by keeping mower blades sharp. And don't worry about picking up the clippings. Short ones add moisture, nutrients, and organic matter to the soil. 3. Invest in native perennials. Plants that bloom year after year may cost more up front, but can last many seasons if cared for properly. And native ones often live longer because they've adapted to the local climate. Native plants also help feed beneficial creatures such as bees, hummingbirds, and butterflies, and their deep roots help manage stormwater. 4. Rent, don't buy pricey equipment. For tools you might use only once or twice a year, like a power washer, a plant bed edger, or a lawn aerator, consider getting a loaner from a store like Home Depot for a fraction of the cost of buying one outright. Save even more by teaming up with a neighbor to share the rental. And 5. Start with seedlings. If you're not in a hurry to have a large plant, save money by purchasing a seedling or a smaller version and allowing it to mature over time. Young plants suffer less transplant shock, and smaller trees in particular will catch up to those that were much bigger when planted. From Better Homes and Gardens, take it outside. Ever notice how any activity seems more exciting under blue skies and sunshine? Enjoy the great outdoors with the whole family this summer by trying one or all of these budget-friendly, every-age adventures. First, go geocaching. How to entice tech-obsessed kids outdoors? Embrace the technology as a motivation to move. The free geocaching app gives GPS coordinates for hidden caches or containers that often contain trinkets, such as keychains and small toys, in local parks and other spots around town, but you'll still need to do some searching to find them. It's like discovering a secret world right in your backyard, says Jane Leal, who owns the travel company Bella Bird Journeys and geocaches on vacation and near home. Next, visit a national park. Legendary locales like the Grand Canyon draw lots of attention, but there are more than 400 national park sites across the U.S. Check findyourpark.com or go to nps.gov. Most people live within 100 miles of a national park, says Will Safroth, National Park Foundation president, and more than two-thirds of the parks have no entrance fee. Got a fourth grader? The family can get in free to any national park via the Every Kid Outdoors program. Go to everykidoutdoors.gov, and that's through August. Build excitement for a visit by ordering the Passport to the National Parks Junior Ranger Edition before you go. It's filled with info and stickers and can be stamped at each park. Go to shop.americasnationalparks.org. Check out a farmer's market. With fresh fruit and veggies, homemade breads and pies, and live music, a farmer's market is a no-need-to-plan way to get everyone outside. Many also have kids' activities. To find a market, search by zip code on the USDA Local Food Directories page at www.amsmikes.usda.gov. Learn a new sport. Put it to a family vote. Rent some gear. And then learn to kayak, skateboard, roller skate, whatever speaks to your family. It can be liberating for kids to feel like they're on an even playing field with parents while learning something new, says educational psychologist Roseanne Capanna-Hodge. Sports complexes and parks and recreation departments often have rentals and lessons. Get crafty. What's better than an old-fashioned crafts project? One you can do in the backyard where cleanup is simple and you're not worried about paint on the sofa. Throw a drop cloth over the patio table, gather your supplies, and get everyone into creative mode. Keep the fun going by voting on everyone's work, best use of neon, most artful swirls, etc. Setting up a viewing gallery in the hallway or wearing your newly tie-dyed clothes out for a pizza dinner. And last, hit the library. It might sound counterintuitive, but your library can be a gateway to the outdoors. Many host outdoor activities such as gardening clubs and beekeeping classes, or lend gear including birdwatching kits, fishing poles, camping equipment, and lawn games like croquet or bocce. Check your library website or Facebook page for events. While you're there, see if you can score free passes to local zoos, parks, historical sites, and museums, including outdoor sculpture parks. From Good Housekeeping, 6 Ways to Shop Eco-Friendly. With a little thought, making sustainable purchasing decisions can become second nature. The next time you pull out your pocketbook, use this advice as a guide. First, choose less packaging. From plastic produce bags to detergent bottles, many products we buy require containers that must be recycled or, worse, thrown away. For a lighter carbon footprint, choose packaging made of easily recycled materials like cardboard, aluminum, and glass, or opt for products with no package at all. Just be careful not to damage them on the way home. For example, some bar soaps are sold without a box or wrapper, plus you can use them up with zero waste. Limit single-serve coffee. One-cup coffee machines may be convenient, but all those spent pods pile up quickly. Instead, choose reusable or recyclable pods. We like that lab favorite Nespresso makes fully recyclable capsules. Try concentrated products. These cleaning and health solutions are typically tablets or cartridges you dilute with water in reusable containers, eliminating excess packaging and waste. And because these items weigh less, the energy and carbon emissions required for transport are lower. Our cleaning lab pros recommend Truman's refillable cleaners. Switch to reusable bags. You may already bring canvas bags to the grocery store, but reducing your reliance on single-use plastic snack and sandwich bags can stop them from ending up in landfills and oceans. Our kitchen appliances lab likes Stashers silicone bags because they come in many sizes and are great for storing small items while traveling. Buy secondhand. When it comes to clothing, the best way to be sustainable is by reusing it. Even if an item contains natural or recycled fibers, the production process requires a lot of energy and water, explains Lexi Satch, GH Textiles Lab Director. Shop at consignment stores or sites like eBay and ThredUp. If you have to buy new, look for items made with recycled polyester, which is often created from plastic water bottles. Use plant-based cleaners. Cleaning products with plant-based ingredients like Tide Pure Clean laundry detergent are generally safer for the environment. You can also look for items with a blue and green EPA Safer Choice label and seek out brands that openly list all ingredients on the packaging. Moving to a couple of recipes for you. From Woman's Day, hot honey-roasted salmon and radishes. Active time is 15 minutes, total time 35. Serves four, cost per serving $3.69. We need a quarter cup honey, half of a jalapeno thinly sliced, two bunches of small radishes, about 1 pound total, halved or quartered if they're very large, greens washed and reserved, 1 tablespoon olive oil, kosher salt and pepper, 1 1/4 pounds salmon fillet cut into 4 pieces, and 1 15-ounce can of chickpeas rinsed. Heat oven to 425. In a small saucepan, bring honey and jalapeno to a simmer. Remove from heat, let sit 5 minutes, then strain, reserving jalapeno slices for serving. On a large rimmed baking sheet, toss radishes with oil and 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Place salmon in the center of the sheet, drizzle with half of the honey, and season with 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Roast until radishes are tender and salmon is opaque throughout, 15 to 20 minutes. Transfer salmon to plates and drizzle with the remaining honey. Toss radishes with the chickpeas and then radish greens. Serve with the salmon. From Real Simple, shrimp and basil stir fry. Active and total time, 15 minutes. Serves 4. We need 3 tablespoons soy sauce, 1 tablespoon fish sauce, 1 tablespoon light brown sugar, 3/4 teaspoon kosher salt, 3 tablespoons vegetable oil, 2 to 3 medium red Fresno chilies or 1 jalapeno, halved and sliced, seeds removed for less heat if desired, 3 medium shallots thinly sliced or about 3/4 cup, 1 tablespoon minced garlic from approximately 3 cloves, 1 1/2 pound peeled, deveined, large raw shrimp, 2 cups loosely packed fresh Thai basil or regular basil leaves, plus more for serving, cooked white rice for serving, and lime wedges for serving. Stir soy sauce, fish sauce, sugar, and salt in a small bowl and set aside. Heat oil in a large skillet, not non-stick, over medium-high until shimmering. Add chilies, shallots, and garlic. Cook, stirring often until fragrant, 1 to 2 minutes. Add shrimp to the skillet. Cook, stirring occasionally until shrimp are cooked through, about 3 minutes. Add soy sauce mixture to the skillet. Cook, tossing occasionally, until sauce is slightly reduced, about 1 minute. Remove skillet from heat. Add basil and toss until basil just starts to wilt. Serve over rice, topped with more basil, and serve with lime wedges. From Good Housekeeping, everything bagel crusted salmon with herby fennel salad. Active time is 20 minutes, total 25. We need 1 1/2 pounds skin-on salmon fillet, 2 tablespoons olive oil divided, kosher salt and pepper, 2 tablespoons everything spice blend, 1 lemon, 1 small bulb of fennel, cored and very thinly sliced, plus 1/2 cup of fennel fronds, 3 scallions thinly sliced, 1/2 cup flat leaf parsley leaves, and 1/2 cup cilantro leaves. Heat oven to 425. Place salmon, skin side down, on rimmed baking sheet and rub with 1 tablespoon oil, then sprinkle 1/4 teaspoon pepper and all of everything spice on top. Thinly slice 1/2 lemon and arrange around the salmon. Bake until salmon is barely opaque throughout, 18 to 22 minutes. Meanwhile, in a large bowl, toss fennel with juice from remaining half, about 1 1/2 tablespoons, remaining tablespoon of oil, and 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. That was the remaining lemon half, if I didn't say the word lemon. And then 1/4 teaspoon each salt and pepper. Just before serving, toss fennel with the scallions, parsley, cilantro, and fennel fronds. Serve with salmon and lemon slices. And that serves 4. Also from Good Housekeeping, basic sugar cookies if you've got a taste for sweet right now. Total 20 minutes. We need 2 3/4 cups all-purpose flour, 1/2 teaspoon baking powder, 1/4 teaspoon kosher salt, 1 cup of unsalted butter, 3/4 cup granulated sugar, 1 large egg, and 1.5 teaspoons pure vanilla extract. In a large bowl, whisk together flour, baking powder, and salt. Using the electric mixer, beat butter and sugar until light and fluffy, about 3 minutes. Beat in egg, then vanilla. Reduce mixer speed to low and gradually add flour mixture, mixing just until incorporated. Shape dough into 4 discs and roll each between 2 sheets of waxed paper to 1/8 inch thick. Chill until firm, 30 minutes in refrigerator or 15 in the freezer. Heat oven to 350. Line baking sheets with parchment paper. Using floured cookie cutters, cut out cookies, place on prepared sheets. Re-roll, chill, and cut out scraps. Bake, rotating positions of the pans halfway through until cookies are light golden brown around the edges, 10 to 12 minutes. Let cool on the sheets 5 minutes before transferring to wire racks to cool completely before decorating as desired. From Martha Stewart Living, asparagus season may be short, but these stalks are long on nutrients. A single cup has 3 grams each of protein and fiber. So, steam sauté it. Garlic thyme asparagus. Heat 1.5 teaspoons extra virgin olive oil in a skillet over medium high. Add 1 tablespoon sliced garlic and 2 thyme sprigs. Cook, stirring until fragrant, about 1 minute. Add 8 ounces trimmed asparagus. Season with kosher salt and freshly ground pepper. Cook, tossing to coat in the oil, 1 minute. Arrange in a single layer. Add 1/4 cup water and cover. Reduce heat to medium-low and cook, shaking pan occasionally, until crisp tender and most of the water has evaporated, about 2 minutes. Active and total time was 15 minutes and it serves 2 to 3 people. What about some grilled asparagus? Herby asparagus farro salad. Preheat a grill to high. In a large bowl, toss 1 cup chopped Marcona almonds, grated zest of 2 lemons, 1/2 cup sliced scallions, and 1 cup packed chopped fresh dill. Drizzle 8 ounces trimmed asparagus lightly with extra virgin olive oil. Season with kosher salt and freshly ground pepper. Grill, turning once until just tender, 4 to 6 minutes. Transfer to a cutting board and let cool slightly, then chop into bite-sized pieces. Add to the bowl, along with 4 cups of cooked farro, 2 tablespoons oil, and 1 to 2 tablespoons fresh lemon juice. Season with salt and pepper. Fold in 1/2 cup crumpled feta and serve. Active time was 20 minutes, total time 25, and it serves 4 to 6. What about blanching your asparagus? This one's quick, active, and total time are 10 minutes plus chill time, and it serves 4. It's asparagus with miso dip. Cook 12 ounces trimmed asparagus in salted boiling water until crisp tender, 2 minutes. Drain, refrigerate on a towel-lined plate until cold. Whisk 2 tablespoons white miso into 3 tablespoons hot water. Mash 1/4 teaspoon minced garlic into a paste with a pinch of kosher salt. Whisk in a miso mixture along with 2 tablespoons tahini, 1 tablespoon each lemon juice and unseasoned rice vinegar, and 1/2 teaspoon sesame oil. Whisk until smooth and serve with asparagus. You've heard it. We're out of time for today's episode. Be sure and listen next time. And it's available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time.